station G.I. Blue. From my G.I. head to the heels of my G.I. shoe.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. We come out of Oxford, Mississippi, just, well, an hour from Tupelo, Elvis's birth, and just an hour from Memphis. And this is his fifth number one album, this song, G.I. Blues, and it was number one on this day in history. And now it's time for our This Day in History segment, brought to you by our partner, Hillsdale College.
By sheer coincidence, December 4th, 1956, became one of the landmark days in American musical history. The day started out innocently enough. As scheduled, Carl Perkins, already a star with his smash hit song, Blue Suede Shoes.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue.
Arrived late in the afternoon to work on new material for Sun Records at 760 Union Avenue in Memphis, Tennessee. Sam Phillips, the flashy, talkative owner of Sun Records, had brought in his latest acquisition, singer and piano man extraordinaire Jerry Lee Lewis, still unknown outside Memphis, to play the piano for a measly $15 session fee, though his career-making single, Whole Lot of Shakin' Going On, was set for release just a few weeks later.
Come on over, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on.
Just after Perkins and Lewis met, Elvis Presley, the biggest name in show business and a former Sun artist himself, dropped in unannounced just to pay a visit to his friend Phillips.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama, just any way you do it, that's all right, that's all right, that's all right, Mama, any way you do.
Phillips' decision to sell Presley's contract to RCA in 1955 for only $35,000 is easy to question in retrospect. But it provided Sun Records with the operating capital it needed in order to record and promote the parade of future stars who had descended on Memphis, hoping to follow in Elvis's footsteps. After chatting with Phillips in the control room, the three-hour jam session began. Phillips left the tapes running in order to capture the moment as a souvenir and for posterity. At some point during the session, Sun artist Johnny Cash, already a star in his own right after his breakthrough hits Folsom Prison Blues and I Walk the Line, popped in. Although Cash noted in his autobiography that it was he who was the first to arrive at Sun Studio that day.
I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line.
Publicity-minded Phillips, startled that he suddenly had four titans in his studio, called Bob Johnson, the entertainment editor of the Memphis newspaper. Johnson soon arrived at the studio with a photographer, who took a picture of the four men singing. As Jerry Lee pounded away on the piano, Elvis slipped out. Cash claims in his autobiography that no one wanted to follow Jerry Lee, not even Elvis. The king could not believe the energy of Jerry Lee Lewis. "That boy can go," Presley said. "I think he has a great future ahead of him." The next day, the newspapers ran their story with a headline that stuck in musical history, Million Dollar Quartet. The article contained the now well-known photograph of Elvis Presley seated at the piano, surrounded by Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Johnny Cash. Here's the founder of Sun Records, Sam Phillips.
We just turn on the microphone and the tape and sing off microphone. They sang 90% hymns.
The legend of the session grew. In 1969, a new owner went through the entire Sun Records catalogs and found, amid 10,000 hours of tape, nearly 1 hour from the session, that he issued as the Million Dollar Quartet. Over the years, more footage was discovered, and in 1987, a new and larger version was issued. Yet another version came out in 1990. Altogether, there are 46 musical tracks on the complete disc, but none are complete songs. There are starts and restarts of some songs, and several versions of others. Many are interrupted by the chatter between the four men.
This is fun. I like that.
The Million Dollar Quartet album is a real treat for all music lovers. It presents the quartet of superstars when they were young and experimenting with their music in the tiny, isolated studio, far from the big arenas and heavily lit stages. The titles include On the Jericho Road.
As you travel alone, as you travel alone, on the Jericho Road.
Take young Johnny Cash to this.
Brothers, your load seem all wrong. And heavy or low,
heavy or low,
just take it to cry.
Please won't you bring it to cry.
Your sins all confessed.
Your sins all confessed.
On the Jericho Road. Your sins he will bless.
Your heart he will bless.
And down by the riverside. Here's Just a Little Talk with Jesus.
Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Remember that?
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Well, then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Well, he made my heart in love, and I wrote my name above. Well, just a little talk with my Jesus gonna make it right.
And don't be cruel.
Oh, man, that's classic.
If you can't come around, at least please a telephone.
That's great. That's great.
Boy, he's talking. I went back four nights straight, man. I went back four nights straight and heard that guy do that. He said, he'd soften up, he'd say, I don't. He'd shake his head and say, I don't want no other love. Baby, it's just you are. He'd say, well, then I don't want to stop thinking of me. Man, he sung the hell out of that song, man. I was on the table looking at him. Get him off. Get him off.
Here's Softly and Tenderly.
That's a little high, Carl. Just a little bit.
Oh, softly and tenderly, Jesus is called. Calling for you and for me.
And brown-eyed, handsome man.
Arrested on the charges of unemployment. He was seated in the witness stand.
Yeah.
The judge's wife told up the district attorney. Said, free that brown-eyed man.
Yeah, put your job in there.
I like the way he said, I'm flying across the desert in the TWA.
I'm across the sand. Walking 30 miles in route to Bombay to meet a brown-eyed man.
Her destination was a brown-eyed man.
The four stars loved the jam session. I never had a better time than yesterday afternoon when I dropped into Sam Phillips' place, Presley told the Memphis newspaper. The beauty of the Million Dollar Quartet session is that it was not organized, and the men performed without any rehearsal. Later, a critic for Rolling Stone magazine wrote that it provided a rare post-sun glimpse of Elvis Presley, momentarily free of the golden shackles of stardom and the manipulative grasp of his manager, Colonel Tom Parker. His singing, especially on the gospel numbers, is natural and relaxed. Here again is Sam Phillips.
And I still look at that picture. We all looked like country boys, and they were around the piano. Every person in that room was electrified, not just by Elvis, not by Johnny, not by Carl, not by Jerry Lee, but the fact that we were together, all of us, in the place where it started for every one of us.
Ain't they gonna study one no more?
The Million Dollar Quartet.
Yes, brilliant. Yeah. It is. It's beautiful.
This day in history.
Great job on that piece, Greg.
Wow.
And these are the kind of stories we just love telling here on Our American Stories, the birth of music. And if you think about where we're broadcasting from, here in Oxford, Mississippi, you draw a line from New Orleans to Mississippi to Nashville, and that is American music, folks, where gospel, bluegrass, country, rock, blues all collide in one place, almost all invented, and you throw in jazz. Again, this is Lee Habib. This is Our American Stories. And you can hear this piece, and please share it with friends on OurAmericanNetwork.org.
Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. And one of the primary things we cover on this show is education and all things education. And we do a lot of learning here together, listening to stories, and it's the best way to teach, telling stories. And we're going to talk to, in a bit, Dr. Everett Piper, whose piece, This Is Not a Daycare, It's a University, we are going to delve into. But before we do that, we need to get into Jesse's mind right now and Jesse's take on the news. And it's time for Jesse's World.
A skeleton used to teach British school children for decades is being put to rest after it was identified as actual human remains. After digging into records, the school discovered that the bones once belonged to an Indian man who died in the early 1900s. After the skeleton was discovered to be human, a local funeral home offered to give him a funeral, including a coffin, hearse, and pallbearers free of charge. The funeral will be attended by teachers and students. A West Virginia man walked into a middle school on Tuesday morning dressed as Justin Bieber, demanding to sing students Justin Bieber's songs and insisting that he was Jesus Christ before staff called the police. When police arrived to question Delonte D. Lewis, they found that he had not taken his prescribed medication. Quick search revealed that he was also in possession of marijuana. After being sent to the hospital, Lewis walked into a daycare facility and again attempted to sing Bieber songs to children. When he was asked to leave, he started screaming profanities. He was again taken to the hospital and is now facing additional charges. A New York police officer was arrested in the Bronx after he exposed himself while sitting drunk in his car outside of an elementary school. Officer Wayne Roach had no pants on when a school safety agent approached his vehicle after some parents complained. The safety agent then reported the cops' bizarre activities to the cops. Roach, a Manhattan transit officer with more than 9 years on the job, was heavily intoxicated and had the keys in the ignition when police arrived at the school. He was charged with public lewdness and DWI. For Our American Stories, I'm Jesse Edwards.
Well, thanks for that, Jesse.
My pleasure.
Always uplifting. You know, we've been digging into this subject of what's happening on our college campuses. We got on Roger Kimball last week, who wrote a remarkable piece in the Wall Street Journal called The Rise of the College Crybullies. And these strained times on college campuses in America are, well, where students are demanding not to be offended, administrators who are bowing down to them and are still being forced to resign, we thought we'd bring on a real live university president who refuses to take part in this nonsense. Dr. Everett Piper is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University and a native of Hillsdale, Michigan. Dr. Piper, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
You recently wrote a blog post titled, "This is not a daycare, it's a university," on your university's websites. It got up a lot of attention. Tell us why.
Well, I think that's the key question. Why is this even newsworthy? Why in the world have 900,000 people visited the Oklahoma Wesleyan University website to check out this article? You know, why is it newsworthy for a college president to say, "I'm more interested in your character than I am in coddling you. I want you to look at this as a place to learn, not a place to, quote-unquote, be safe. I'm more interested in intellectual freedom than ideological fascism. I want to pursue the classical liberal arts academy where we actually educate a free people and a free society, and we pursue liberty and justice and freedom." Why is that newsworthy? I think that's the key question that we should be talking about. If a college president actually tells his students that he wants them to learn rather than desires to coddle them, that shouldn't be news.
Well, I believe so. Let me read a little something, and I know this always makes writers shudder, but it's so good I have to read it. This past week, I actually, and these are your words, "This past week, I actually had a student come forward after a university chapel service and complained because he felt victimized by a sermon on the topic of 1 Corinthians 13. It appears this young scholar felt offended because a homily on love made him feel bad for not showing love. In his mind, the speaker was wrong for making him and his peers feel uncomfortable." Talk about that and, well, what you wrote about that experience.
Well,
if you could.
Oklahoma Wesleyan University is an unapologetic Christian university where we still hold fast to our charter and our mission statement, and we stand in the great traditions of Oxford and Cambridge and Harvard, Dartmouth, Princeton, Yale, all of which were founded in a very similar philosophy. In fact, Yale's original charter said to lay Christ at the bottom as the foundation for all learning. We still hold to that particular worldview, so we have chapel on our campus. In one of our recent chapels, the speaker actually gave a wonderful homily on love where he used the scripture verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the quintessential love chapter of the Bible. Afterward, one of our students approached the speaker and said that he felt uncomfortable and he felt singled out by that particular sermon, and he felt his peers had been singled out likewise. So essentially, he kind of threw down the victim card, if you will, saying, "You made me feel uncomfortable, and I don't like it." Well, when I heard about this, my response was the letter that you just wrote, where I said, "This is not a safe place. This is a place to learn. This is a place for you to learn that life isn't about you. It's about others. This is a place for you to learn that when you pursue truth, that you actually, at times, might feel uncomfortable. There are a lot of lies that make you feel good. There are a lot of lies that make you feel comfortable. Truth often is something that confronts you and makes you feel awkward. It might actually make you feel guilt. And you know what we used to call that? A conscience. And maybe...
what a thought.
Maybe when you actually have a bad feeling, you should consider confessing your sins rather than pointing the finger at everybody else and blaming them. So that's the letter that caught everybody's attention.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. We're talking to Dr. Everett Piper and his piece in the Wall Street, well, his piece that he basically posted on his campus website that's been, well, it's been tracked down by 900,000 people, which makes it almost as big as the subscription of the Wall Street Journal itself. That's the demand of a real, truthful peace like this, and that's the demand in this country now. We're seeking deep rebuttal to this campus protest mentality and, frankly, the totalitarianism that's running amok on our nation's college campuses. We're going to be rejoined by Dr. Everett Piper, the university president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and that's in Hillsdale, Michigan. We'll be back right after this with more from Dr. Everett Piper.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
We're the producers.
We're the producers.
At Our American Stories.
On Our American Network.
And we would like to hear your story.
If you or someone you know has an interesting story that you would like to share with America,
simply email us a picture and a paragraph.
A picture and a paragraph.
To your story at OurAmericanNetwork.org.
Just a picture and a paragraph?
Yep, that's all you need.
Did you or someone you know serve in the military?
Tell us about it.
Send a picture and a paragraph to
your story at OurAmericanNetwork.org.
Did you or someone you know have something dramatic happen?
We want to know about it.
Send a picture of yourself and a paragraph describing something that happened in your life that you would like to share with America
and the rest of the world.
Has someone ever done something for you that changed your life?
Share it with us.
Share it with us.
Share it with us.
Or just having a bad day?
We want to hear about it.
We want to hear about it.
Share your story with us on Our American Stories.
Your story is important to us
and our listeners.
To share your story,
simply email us a picture and a paragraph
to your story at OurAmericanNetwork.org.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
John Nichols was making major strides in his career when at age 32, a water skiing accident left him critically injured. Fortunately, he had disability insurance.
For me, disability insurance was the safety net. I did not have to worry about the bills. I did not have the financial concerns.
Thanks to disability insurance that John had through work and on his own, he continued to receive an income until he could return to work. Learn more at protectyourpaycheck.org, a message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Thank you.
Habib, and this is Our American Stories. You're listening to Pink Floyd. And by the way, go to OurAmericanNetwork.org and listen to our piece on the making of this song and how the chorus of these kids was added to the song at the last minute, turning this from a song Pink Floyd hated to their greatest hit single. And a lot of it had to do with how Roger Waters felt as a student dealing with the totalitarian nature of teachers telling him how to conform, where, and when. We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. Well, it's out of control. And today we're talking to Dr. Everett Piper. He wrote a blog. He wrote on his blog at the university where he's a president, "This is not a daycare, it's a university." And Dr. Everett Piper is the president of Oklahoma Wesley University. And that's in Oklahoma, by the way, not Michigan. He grew up and was a native of Hillsdale, Michigan. Sorry for that error before.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back with us, Dr. Piper.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad to join you.
You bet. I want to just do a quick reading because, the rest of this is too darn good. And you finish your blog like this. "If you want the chaplain to tell you you're a victim rather than tell you that you need virtue, this may not be the university you're looking for. If you want to complain about a sermon that makes you feel less than loving for not showing love, this may be the wrong place." You go on. "If you're more interested in playing the hate card than you are in confessing your own hate, if you want to arrogantly lecture rather than humbly learn, if you don't want to feel guilt in your soul when you are guilty of sin, if you want to be enabled rather than confronted, there are many universities across the land in Missouri and elsewhere that will give you exactly what you want. But Oklahoma Wesleyan isn't one of them. At OKWU, we teach you to be selfless rather than self-centered. We are more interested in you practicing personal forgiveness than political revenge. We want you to model interpersonal reconciliation rather than foment personal conflict. We believe the content of your character is more important than the color of your skin. We don't believe that you have been victimized every time you feel guilty, and we don't issue trigger warnings before altar calls. Oklahoma Wesleyan is not a safe place, but rather a place to learn that life isn't about you, but about others, that the bad feeling you have while listening to a sermon is called guilt, that the way to address it is to repent of everything that's wrong with you rather than blame others for everything that's wrong with them. This is a place where you will quickly learn that you need to grow up. This is not a daycare. This is a university." Have you received
Amen.
Any... Amen. Thank you. I should get down to the altar call myself. Have you received any pushback on your blog post in your university community?
Well, for my university community, very little. When you have 900,000 views on our website, you know, even if, let's say, 2% of them are negative, then that's a good handful of people. But I can say this, the overwhelming support, even from people that don't agree with me politically and people that don't agree with me socially or religiously or morally, from other universities that may be secular rather than Christian, are emailing me and tweeting me and texting me and Facebooking me and saying, "I don't agree with your politics. I may not agree with your religion, but on this idea, you're spot on."
It's so true. I wanted a quick digression, but I don't know if you heard it, and we'll dig it up and maybe we'll have you back on and we'll take it apart. But Michael Bloomberg at the 2014 Harvard commencement gave an address, and he started to talk about the totalitarian nature of the Harvard faculty, which he pointed out to them, 96% of which gave to one political party over another and one presidential candidate. And he then chimed in that only in the elections in old Stalinist Russia and in Iraq, electing Saddam Hussein, were numbers like that possible. And he went on to talk about campus bias and how out of control it was. And he did this at the Harvard commencement. A real act, actually, I believe, of political courage by Michael Bloomberg.
Absolutely. And let me point out two things. Number one, my letter is addressed to the college with a capital C, the academy, the university system, more so than it's addressed to my kids. I've got great kids that attend this university. What I was basically doing is staring the academy, the American university system, in the eye and saying, "We created this mess. This is our fault. We created this monster. We have taught a generation of leaders to be narcissistic and self-absorbed. We have taught lousy ideas for the last 30, 40, 50 years, And those lousy ideas are coming home to roost. Richard Weaver warned us of this in his seminal work in 1948 when he titled his book, Ideas Have Consequences. And do you know what his point was? Ideas have consequences.
How about
terrible
that?
Ideas will bear terrible fruit. And that's what we're seeing in our culture right now. And the university and the academics are responsible for this. We have created ideological fascism where you must be part of the fascist. You must submit. You must be one of us. And if you don't agree with us, we will silence you. We will expel you and we will crush you. Your countercultural idea is unwelcome. We don't believe in truth. We believe in power, and we believe in people, and we're going to crush you because we don't believe in pursuing truth. We're going to protect our opinions. That's where we are today, and I'm confronting that.
Well, that's and that's why the 900,000 views. Everett, I wanted to play you a clip and then talk to you about a new phenomenon on college campuses called microaggressions.
Just raise it!
And I'm going to play this video for about, well, about how one particular commentator, a very clever Australian, addressed the University of Wisconsin's long list of microaggressions.
Here's a list of actual things that, according to the University of Wisconsin, are racist. Asking someone where they are from or where they were born.
That's racist!
Telling someone they speak good English.
That's racist!
Telling someone that you have several black friends. Saying that you're not a racist.
That's racist!
Complimenting an Asian person by telling them they are very articulate.
That's racist!
Crazy things have been going on all over campuses, all over America. This microaggressions may be that final straw on the proverbial camel's back. What do you think about that?
Well, you call it microaggressions, we'll call it safe spaces, we'll call it trigger warnings, we'll call it victimization card. All of these things are basically newly coined phrases, terms, nomenclature that defines this I'm offended culture. Now, my church is founded as an abolitionist church. The Wesleyan Church stood against the degradation and the diminishing, the dumbing down of any human being lower than another. And I stand vehemently opposed to any diminishment of any human being. So this has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with a race discussion. What this has to do with is a human flourishing discussion. The Liberal Arts Academy was established to liberate humanity, to provide liberty and freedom and justice for humanity by educating people, men and women, how to be free. And we do that in the context of recognizing that Jesus had it spot on. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The Liberal Arts Academy makes me, if I honor it, more classically liberal as a conservative, if you will, than my progressive left of center counterparts, because as a conservative, I want to conserve those time-tested truths that have been given to me by God, recognizing that ultimate human flourishing and freedom is found therein, because Jesus told me, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set me free." That's the magic of the Liberal Arts Academy, not these microaggressions, these shouting down of another human being just because he disagrees with you.
Well, well said. And I don't think there's been a more well-received piece of writing I've seen in my months here just starting this new show. And Dr. Everett Piper's, this is not a daycare, it's a university. You can find it. Just actually Google those words. It'll come up tops in a search. Dr. Piper, thanks so much for joining us.
Blessings. Take care.
Same here. And there you have it. And I'll tell you one other thing that's starting to bug us here on Our American Stories about the way we're talking about education. Because too many folks on the other side, the conservatives, are starting to say, hey, forget education. Let's just train everybody to be welders. Oh, the heck with this stupid thing, philosophy. And I wanted to read something from Dr. Larry Arnn's book really quickly on Winston Churchill. Because here's what Churchill had to say about this skills-based education. This is an age of machinery and specialization, but I hope, nonetheless, indeed all the more, that the purely vocational aspect of university study will not be allowed to dominate or monopolize. Engines were made for men, not men for engines. Knowledge of the past is the only foundation from which to peer into and try to measure the future. Expert knowledge, however indispensable, is no substitute for a generous and comprehending outlook upon the human story, with all of its sadness and with all of its unquenchable hope. And we will talk a lot about college here. Always. And we will not diminish college because of the left and its totalitarian nature has made something small out of something big, something petty out of something beautiful. This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories.
Child, I went through that over and over and over again. He actually did commit suicide and saw that happen. And at that point in my life, I really went south quick. I started turning to drugs.
That's Mike Eigelhart. He ended up in prison. And in prison, he found his father in heaven and turned his life around. He's now the biological father of two children with his wife, Terry. And they're also entrusted with the lives of 10 other children, all through the Palmer Home for Children. 10 children who were just like him, abused, abandoned, or neglected.
A man that had no father for his whole entire life and ran fatherless forever is now being able to be a father to the fatherless. I told him all. I said, man, I really wish there was a place like that that somebody would have put me in when I was a kid that was an opportunity like that.
Thankfully, there is a loving home for these children at the Palmer Home. 126 children are there today, and they can change so many more children's lives with your support. Consider making a donation today at palmerhome.org.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. FBI Director James Comey won't say whether anyone affiliated with the Islamic State group communicated back to the man and woman who carried out Wednesday's attack in San Bernardino, California. Comey says that there is no indication yet that the plot was directed by any foreign terror group. Texas has dropped its legal efforts to block Syrian refugees from resettling in the state. Legal experts say that a lawsuit filed Wednesday would be futile. There's been a show of support for the refugees. More than 50 members of a Houston church held a rally in support of a nearby mosque. Lawyers for two former Albuquerque, New Mexico police officers charged with second-degree murder in the shooting death of a homeless man are arguing that the trial should be moved to another city. United Auto Workers has won a union vote among skilled trades workers at Volkswagen's Lone U.S. assembly plant in Tennessee. More details at srnnews.com.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. Just back from my accountant's office. I have to tighten my budget.
Staples has super low prices every day on everything for your business.
Really?
It'll satisfy the stingiest CPA.
Mine's a real Scrooge.
Yay, Sam.
No, his name's Scrooge. Dave Scrooge.
Get up to 5% back in rewards on everything every day. Plus free shipping at staples.com. Get more for less. Staples. Make more happen.
5% back in rewards excludes postage, gift, or prepaid phone cards and purchases made on third-party websites. Rewards not paid on taxes, delivery charges, or coupons. See staples.com for details.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Call Quicken Loans now to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. And for 6 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And for the second year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
John Nichols was making major strides in his career when at age 32, a water skiing accident left him critically injured. Fortunately, he had disability insurance.
For me, disability insurance was the safety net. I did not have to worry about the bills. I did not have the financial concerns.
Thanks to disability insurance that John had through work and on his own, he continued to receive an income until he could return to work. Learn more at protectyourpaycheck.org, a message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment, and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
This is Lee Habib, and I love it when Jesse does the lounge music. It comes, it's blues sometimes. I never know what he's coming in with. But this is, well, it's just good old lounge stuff.
Little rat-tat-tat.
A little rat-tat-tat. A little repartee. A nice martini. Or whatever your preferred beverage. By the way, there's not enough of that in our culture. That place where adults can go, dress up.
Yeah.
Have a great cocktail. Listen to a great singer. Sit down, a couple of candles. Something a little bit on the romantic side. Oh, well, one can long for one can long for things. Well, it's time every once in a while to get inside the mind of Hengler. And, well, every once in a while, Greg just likes to talk about things that, as he puts it, are just not right, that people think are right. And today's subject is, well, it's on the hygiene front. Shower, shave, and sauna care. Go ahead, Hengler. You got the mic.
Yeah. Tonight you're going to go to bed, and the first thing you're going to do is you're going to brush your teeth. Now, my question is, what are you going to brush your teeth with? If it's one of those handheld toothbrushes, there's a problem. There's a big problem. And, you know, we don't live in the age of the dinosaurs. That thing needs to be thrown away. We live in the age of the 21st century. And they have this thing, it's called a Sonicare toothbrush. Now, this thing is so effective. When I go to my dentist, I went to him for the first year. And every time I came in, he said, "You're not using a Sonicare toothbrush." And I said, "How'd you know?" He says, "I know every single person that doesn't use a Sonicare toothbrush." I didn't believe it. I came back again the next time, and he said, "You're not using the Sonicare toothbrush." I was shocked. He was right again. He said he knew that about every single person. I switched, and he called me out the next time. He could tell. So we've all switched. All the kids use Sonicare. You got to get a Sonicare. If not, you might as well just use your finger. After you brush your teeth, you're going to floss. Now, probably 99% of you don't even floss. There's a problem to begin with, and I understand that. There's a stand-up comedian, he made a joke, and he said, you know, people who smoke cigarettes, they say, "Man, you don't know how hard it is to quit smoking." And I say, "Yes, I do. It's as hard as trying to start flossing." Now, there's a cure for this. And it is called the Reach Flosser. Now, this thing is just like a toothbrush, an old-school toothbrush. You hold it in your hands, but on the end, there's a little tiny horseshoe thing and a little piece of floss. You slide that in between your teeth really quick. Boom, it's done. You can throw it in your car on the way to work every morning. Boom, 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 boom. You don't want to use that stuff you put around your fingers and cuts off the circulation and makes them purple. Throw that away. All right. After you're done flossing and brushing, you're gonna, if you're a dude, this one's especially for the dudes, you're gonna shave. Now, you're doing it all wrong. First of all, the decision is usually, do I shave before the shower or after? Neither one!
What?
You shave in the shower!
What?
Every single person who says, if you want the best shave, they always say, "Oh, you get that, you go to the barber and they put the cream in your face, they put the towel on your face, that is the best shave you'll ever get." Now, what do they got these days? They got shavers with 5 blades on them. It's ridiculous when everybody knows that the single blade works the best. What makes a good razor is the sharpness, not how many blades are on it. Cut out the gimmicks. It's ridiculous. 20 years ago, there was the 2-blader. Then the other cut, Gillette said, "Let's do a 3. And then somebody, Schick, said, "No, I want to do a 5-blade. It's getting ridiculous. Stop the madness. Switch to a simple 2-blade and you'll be fine. Just keep it nice and sharp. Now I'm going to break it down for you. When you do shave, the shaving cream, you're doing it wrong. You don't use the gel and you don't use that canned Barbasol stuff. That stuff is artificial. It's like eating a lollipop, a cherry lollipop, when you really should be eating a fruit cherry. It's artificial. It's fake. It doesn't work. It doesn't penetrate and hydrate the hair in your face. To do that, you go shout, you shave in the shower. Now, you have to buy a mirror, and you can get this on Amazon, and you put it in there, and you shave in there. And that's exactly like you see in the movies, where they go into the professional barber salon and they put the towel on your faces, take advantage of the moisture in the air and the water all over your face, and do it right in there. You don't do it after and then get the little specks of hair all over your neck. You just took a shower. You're ruining it. Do it when you're in the shower. It'll be fine. Okay, I'm going to end it on this. Dudes, you get older. I don't know when it happens, around the age of 25 and stuff. You start to get nose hairs. And everybody thinks, oh, I'm just going to, you know, grab the scissors. And if you're really brave, you're going to use the tweezers and pull them out. Ridiculous. What are you doing? You go back to the two-blade razor, right? The standard. The two-blade razor. You, after you've dulled the first one on your face, you have two razors now. You have a dull one and you have a sharp one. The sharp one's for your face, the dull one's for your nose. What you do is basically use it as a squeegee inside your nostril. You grab the tip of your nose and you push it down a little bit. And you go in there just like you're cleaning a glass cup, but you're using the razor. Now, there's a problem. It's only going to clean about 3/4 of the nose, and the back part of it, that's where you're going to use your scissors. That's going to get that little stuff done. But other than that, if you try to use the scissors and part of your nose, you're going to have tons of grass on the field. You got to use the razor. You got to get in there, and it'll get a nice, tight, smooth, clean. And you won't have to do it for a long time. All right? That's it.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose.
Keep our composure. I got one last thing. Oh, I didn't tell you the alternative to the shaving lotion and the gel. This is the most important ingredient in your cream. I use Kiehl's facial soap. And what it has in it is glycerin. Glycerin is the most important ingredient for getting a shave, because it hydrates the skin, it penetrates it, it doesn't dry it out, and it softens the beard so you can get a nice, clean, smooth shave. You got to get a glycerin-based soap, a glycerin-based shaving cream, but you're not going to get a glycerin-based in one of those artificial garbage stuff that you're going to get at CVS. Well, actually, CVS does have pretty good stuff these days, but just keep a lookout, make sure it's glycerin. That's it.
Oh, well done, Hengler. Well done. Take a breath. Take a drink. Oh, well done. I don't know what to say. Though I must confess, my daughter's favorite activity, and this is I have to share this because we do share here. And my little girl loves, absolutely adores, to take the tweezers and pull out. Now, this is going to really disgust the ladies, but my ear hairs. This is their favorite thing in the world to do. Yeah, she loves pulling them out. She loves doing it slow. This is her way of gaining tremendous power over her dad. And I give it to her because she just so delights in it. I've never seen a child be happier. And if I ever take away this privilege, I think I'd lose my girl. I think I would lose her entirely. So that's a little something to share with. And guys, I know we all took down notes. And Hengler on hygiene. And Hengler on so many other things. Hengler on hydration. Hengler on, of course,
baby wipes.
Baby wipes. So go to OurAmericanNetwork.org, the Hengler rants, and we want to hear your rants. And you can post them on our website, OurAmericanNetwork.org, of course. Or you can call us, and that's 877-655-6755. You'll have to run your rant by our screener first, and we are very picky. You have to have the passion of Hengler. We don't want mild-mannered ranters here. A rant is a rant.
It's got to come from the gut.
It's got to come from the gut, okay?
You got to be willing to brawl over it.
Yeah, brawl over it and embarrass yourself, as Hengler does, if possible. We don't care. There's no judgment here on Our American Stories. Coming up, we're going to talk about something that affects all of you that you don't know affects all of you. It's an organization called the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve controls monetary policy in the United States. It controls money. It controls more than you know. And the people of the Federal Reserve report to nobody. Well, they talk to Congress and they talk to us, but they're accountable to no one. And we're going to learn why, and we're going to learn a lot about this cryptic, odd, strange American shadow banking system. This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories.
Yeah.
Are you tired of all the talk about politics? How about talking about paychecks?
because that's what the Job Creators Network does. It's the voice of real job creators that's been missing. Led by Home Depot founder Bernie Marcus, over 50 job creators across the country are members.
Home Depot, if we started it today, we could never have succeeded with today's regulations.
Your voice is needed. If you're a job creator and interested in learning more, visit jobcreatorsnetwork.com.
Like campfires? How about a campfire atmosphere with friends and brought to your ears wherever you are? That's what we do at Our American Stories, a show that tells great American stories of love, final thoughts before dying, funny stories about first jobs, this day in history, American dreams and marriages, and so much more. And then here's your stories on these big topics live every weeknight, or listen online at ouramericannetwork.org. We'll hope you join the campfire and call in with your stories.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
John Nichols was making major strides in his career when at age 32, a water skiing accident left him critically injured. Fortunately, he had disability insurance.
For me, disability insurance was the safety net. I did not have to worry about the bills. I did not have the financial concerns.
Thanks to disability insurance that John had through work and on his own, he continued to receive an income until he could return to work. Learn more at protectyourpaycheck.org, a message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, and my goodness, Hengler's Rant, one of his finest. I'm always having to take notes and question my own hygiene habits when I'm done listening to Hengler. Well done, Greg, and you need a long weekend after that. And now it's time to get a little bit more serious, and it's a subject we all need to know a lot more about, and we're going to learn it because we're going to spend some time on Our American Stories talking about it. And we've all heard the talk about the Federal Reserve essentially raising interest rates, and they do this through a variety of mechanisms, which we're going to discuss. But you're all thinking, what the heck does this matter? How does it affect me? And my, oh my, does it affect average Americans? And it affects us more than we know. And joining us to talk about the Federal Reserve, the impending raising interest rates, is Dr. Judy Shelton. Judy was an economic advisor for the National Commission on Economic Growth and Tax Reform, chaired by the late, great Jack Kemp. And she is now a senior fellow at the Atlas Network and co-director of the Atlas Sound Money Project. And Judy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Lee.
You know, before we get into the Fed and their raising of interest rates, let's start at the beginning. What is the Fed? What was the purpose? And why was it founded?
It was founded just about exactly 100 years ago in 1913. And the idea was pretty innocuous. You know, we periodically can have a run on banks. Let's say there's a mild financial panic and everyone wants to take their money out at the same time. Well, that can cause a bank to have to suddenly foreclose on perfectly good loans because it needs to give people the physical currency back if they demand it and they have savings there. And the idea was, well, wouldn't it be better if we could have what they called an elastic currency? And if there were a way to sort of prevent these bank runs from happening, make people feel confident if they want money to take it out of the bank, that you could give them enough cash. And then meantime, you'd be willing, that is, some entity would be willing, and this became the Federal Reserve, to wait until the loans matured and they were paid off. And so you didn't have a small panic turn into a large panic. It was a pretty passive thing. It's just that it has evolved to become, instead of a passive stabilizing force, sort of the whole deal. Now everyone kind of waits to take marching orders from the Federal Reserve.
And who runs the Federal Reserve? Who do they report to, and to whom are they accountable, Judy?
Well, the Fed likes to call itself an independent government agency, but the fact is it is an agency of government. And I think right there, there's sort of an inherent conflict of interest. You have one branch of government, the Treasury, issuing debt so that government can spend more than it takes in. And then you have another agency of government buying up that debt. The Federal Reserve buys Treasury debt. That's the way it conducts monetary policy. And then in what has really become sort of a magical thinking approach, I believe, the Fed takes the interest payments, which are paid by the Treasury on its debt. It takes that money, and at the end of the year, it gives that money back to the Treasury. It remits it back to the Treasury, and then the Treasury counts the money it gets from the Fed, which was its own interest payments on its own debt, as revenues to the federal budget. So it's just kind of crazy. And but the Fed is, as I say, it likes to say it's independent, but all the Fed officials on the Federal Open Market Committee, which is the policy-making part of the Federal Reserve System, are appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. So there is a political aspect to it, definitely.
You bet. And now tell us about the experiment the Federal Reserve has taken on since the 2008 crash and this essentially zero interest rate policy towards lending. Talk about that.
Well, right. The idea was if the Fed brought interest rates down to zero, that this would stimulate the economy because then companies would be able to borrow. And if they could borrow cheap, they could expand production. And in expanding production, they would hire more people. And that would raise employment and get the ball rolling. And it's just in keeping with the same sort of Keynesian stimulus measures that we also see in the fiscal realm. In the monetary realm, the monetary stimulus is to sort of fake it. You give this illusion that people are getting wealthier because this cheap money also finds its way onto Wall Street. And so the value of securities goes up and people start thinking, I am wealthier. It's called the wealth effect. And then if they feel wealthier, they buy more. And the whole thing is meant to create more demand and get the economy going again.
And the fact of the matter is, though, for savers, let's say, people who've saved a lot of money, now they can get, well, pretty much no return on their savings. So in some respects, there are some wealth transfers that are occurring because when the Fed goes to zero, those savers need to chase what's called yield, some interest or some return, so they start pushing their money into the stock market. The stock market prices go up, and ultimately, isn't this the way bubbles can get created?
Well, definitely. And if you're already a wealthy investor, this works great for you. You can get 1% money, you can invest it in the stock market, you can take the risk, you can weather the ups and downs, and you've been making out like a bandit. But when you started out our segment this evening, I heard you say that this really does affect people. Well, if you're a normal person who has just your savings in a bank, for about the last 7 years, you've been subsidizing the wealthiest people on Wall Street. You've been subsidizing big corporations who have been using that cheap money not to expand production, not to hire more people. They've been using it to buy back their own shares. That drives up the price of their shares in the market, and a lot of top management are paid based on how the share price performs. They've been going crazy with mergers and acquisitions. That is, they're using this cheap play money to buy out other companies, and then everyone can say, look, our revenues are going up because they're combining companies. It's just interesting that government, big business, and wealthy investors are the ones who have been the beneficiaries of the cheap money, but they've really been subsidized by the people who are getting the short end of all this by getting virtually zero return on their savings.
And this, folks, is why we're talking to Judy Shelton, because this very complicated stuff affects ordinary small businesses and ordinary Americans in profound ways. And I think, interestingly enough, Judy, when we have these low interest rates and our own government borrows money at low interest rates, well, they're paying less in interest payments. But what happens when the interest rates go up? What happens to our debt and our debt payments, Judy? Talk about that if you can.
Well, it's going to be very, very much more expensive. And paying interest on government debt is one of the, I think it's the third largest expenditure in the federal budget. So they've been spoiled. They've been spoiled, and it has made it entirely too easy to issue debt and have these very low interest rates on Treasury debt, and I think that's dangerous. Again, this conflict of interest, because the Federal Reserve holds so much of that government debt, and they've become the handmaiden to the kind of fiscal irresponsibility that has really allowed our government to continue overspending and not really demonstrated the kind of responsible approach toward even thinking about achieving a balanced budget, which would be much more in the interests of citizens.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, when you think about it, you were talking about that conflict of interest. It's like that negotiating table where the union bosses give money to Democrat leaders and public pension unions get funded. And there's no one sitting at that table representing the interest of the American public, the citizen. And it sounds to me, Judy, like there's nobody sitting there representing the interest of the saver or representing the people who care about those long-term interest payments in lieu of political expediency of the short term. Talk about that for briefly. You got about a minute left, Judy.
Well, I think that's been true. I will say that a few of us protested that very issue, and earlier this year, Chair Janet Yellen sat down with us at the Fed, and we got to say that this has explained to her that this has been very damaging for savers, and it has hurt retirement plans, and that the Fed needs to be taking those people into consideration, especially talk about the problem of inequality of wealth. Well, I think the Fed's been a big reason that we're seeing increased inequality of wealth. And the other people who haven't been represented are those small business owners who find that the banks don't even want to make loans to them. It's just too easy to sit on the money and churn portfolios of government securities and not make loans to small business, especially when, ironically, it's the Fed telling community banks, well, you can't make risky loans. Well, guess what?
Yep.
If you make a loan to a free entrepreneur, free enterprise guy, it's risky by definition. And those are the ones who have suffered. They're not getting access to that kind of money.
You bet. And of course, as we now know, Judy, more small businesses in this country died than were born. A depressing statistic, and the Federal Reserve has something to do with it. Dr. Judy Shelton, economic advisor for the National Commission on Economic Growth and Tax Reform in her past, and now senior fellow at the Atlas Network, co-director of the Atlas Sound Money Project. Judy, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to many more visits.
My pleasure. Thanks, Lee.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, and you'll hear it all. Hengler rants, the Federal Reserve, by one of the smartest people I know, writes a lot for Forbes, and when you write for Forbes, well, you're smart. This is Lee Habib, and you can catch all this and much more on OurAmericanNetwork.org. Have a good night.
Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.